Raft of the Gladiator, January 17, 1856, the Tasman Sea. Of the four clipper ships built in Aberdeen, Scotland in 1854, one stood out from the others. She was the Gladiator, a big ship of 1,256 tons, 198 feet in length and a 34-foot beam, with three towering masts reaching for the sky at a rakish angle. She was one of the fleetest of the clippers ever to take to the water, but she was a dangerous ship to sail in rough weather because of her two fine lines. She was hailed as a ghoster, having the capability of sailing under the barest breath of wind. Indeed, the Gladiator was never to experience a slow passage from being becalmed. Unfortunately, and unpredictably, she was a ship destined for oblivion. Her owners fitted her out for the Australian trade and emigrant business, and she was one of the few clippers designed to carry passengers as well as cargo. But as they soon discovered, there weren't that many colonists who could afford the fare, so she was sailing with first- and second-class cabins empty. It was found to be far more lucrative to obtain government contracts for the transportation of convicts to the continent that initially served as the world's largest jail. The Gladiator was placed under command of one of the hardest-driving clipper captains, Charles Bully Skaggs. He was aptly named. Though Skaggs did not use the lash on shirking or insubordinate crewmen, he was ruthless in driving his men and ship on record runs between England and Australia. His aggressive methods produced results. On her third homeward voyage, Gladiator set a 63-day record that still stands for sailing ships. Skaggs had raced the legendary captains and clipper ships of his time, John Kendricks of the fleet Hercules, and Wilson Asher in command of the renowned Jupiter, and never lost. Rival captains who left London within hours of the Gladiator invariably found her comfortably moored at her dock when they arrived in Sydney Harbour. The fast runs were a godsend to the prisoners, who endured the nightmarish voyages in appalling torment. Many of the slower merchant ships took as long as 3.5 months to make the voyage. Locked below decks, the convicts were treated like a cargo of cattle. Some were hardened criminals, some were political dissidents. All too many were poor souls who had been imprisoned for stealing a few pieces of cloth or scraps of food. The men were being sent to the penal colony for every offense from murder to pickpocketing. The women, separated from the men by a thick bulkhead, were mostly condemned for petty theft or shoplifting. For both sexes, there were few conveniences of any kind. Skimpy bedding in small wooden berths, the barest of hygienic facilities, and food with little nutrients was their lot for the months at sea. Their only luxuries were rations of sugar, vinegar, and lime juice to ward off scurvy, and a half pint of port wine to boost their morale at night. They were guarded by a small detachment of 10 men from the New South Wales Infantry Regiment, under the command of Lieutenant Silas Shepherd. Ventilation was almost non-existent. The only air came from hatchways with solidly built grills that were kept closed and heavily bolted. Once they entered the tropics, the air became stifling during the blazing hot days. They suffered even more during rough weather, cold and wet, thrown about by the waves crashing against the hull, living in a state of virtual darkness. Doctors were required to serve on the convict ships, and the Gladiator was no exception. Surgeon Superintendent Otis Gorman saw to the prisoners' general health and arranged for small groups of them to come on deck for fresh air and exercise whenever the weather permitted. It became a source of pride for surgeons to boast, when finally reaching the dock in Sydney, that they hadn't lost a prisoner. Gorman was a compassionate man who cared for his wards, bleeding them when required, lancing abscesses, dispensing treatment and advice on lacerations, blisters, and purges, also overseeing the spreading of lime chloride in the water closets, the laundering of clothes, and the scouring of the urine tubs. He seldom failed to receive a letter of thanks from the convicts as they filed ashore. Bully Skaggs mostly ignored the unfortunates locked below his decks. Record runs were his stock in trade. His iron discipline and aggressiveness had paid off handsomely in bonuses from happy shipping owners, while